let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Walk With Me is an autobiography of author Mark Lynch's life, filled with many of his extraordinary experiences, struggles, tragedies, and blessings. Mark is no stranger to death, and he reveals what happened in two near-death experiences and his visit to paradise in the afterlife. Mark shares intimately of his confrontation with God and how this confrontation sparked a personal relationship with the Lord that not only changed Mark's life, but also the lives of his family, friends, and acquaintances. This book offers hope for those facing their own heartaches. Mark Lynch, an ordinary man who has lived life full of extraordinary experiences, a walking, talking, modern-day miracle, and the author of Walk With Me, Second Edition, joins us on This Week in America. Mark, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
So much to talk about during the course of the program today. Book available on Amazon. We'll give you that information as we go through the interview. You say that people call it a near-death experience, but you called it a real death experience. Talk about that, and then the two times it happened, not just once, but two times this happened. Why do you call it a real death experience?
Well, what happened was I actually passed on and went to another place two times. First time, it wasn't... It was very interesting. What had happened is I was in a car accident back in 1979, and I broke my neck in four places, but back then they couldn't fix it. They couldn't do fusing. So they told me to live with it, and they put me in a neck collar. And it took about 25 years before I could actually go back and have them work on it, because I had calcite deposits and bone spurs that were growing inside where all the breaks had happened, and they were penetrating my spinal cord. So I was within millimeters of having my spinal cord severed, so they said that they had to go back in and they have to cut the vertebrae out, grind them down, put them back in, put a metal plate over it, screw it in, and take some fusing material, and it would be better to take it from me than from a cadaver. So they took it off of my hip, and they used that to fuse it all together. I woke up, I was great. 3 days later, they wanted to send me home, but I noticed my throat was killing me. And when I went home, they told me it would all calm down, but it didn't. It got worse. And at the hip site where they took the bone marrow out, and the fusing material, they left me with a little called necromancing fasciitis, and it was now eating my bones. My skeletal system went all through my body, rotted out all my, took out my teeth, the whole bit. I mean, it moves fast. My wife rushed me into the hospital. I was in there, and I was waiting for the doctor to come in that was going to do the operation, and then this doctor came in, he looked like a 15-year-old kid, and all I could think was Doogie Howser. And I looked at him and I says, you got to be kidding me, man. Who are you? And he says, well, I'm your doctor. I says, no. Listen, does your mother know you're skipping school, coming in here, doing this kind of stuff? And he got real indignant after I did that, and he turned around, and next thing I know, everything got black. My throat was closing, and now closed. And I was flopping on the table and doing what you do when you die. And everything went black for it. It didn't seem like it was that long a time. But the next thing I know, I woke up and I'm looking down at my body. Now, that's a real weird experience. And actually, it's sort of pleasant. You don't realize how much that you are weighed down by this body while you're here. And I am on the ceiling looking at my body, and I look over to see the kid, and he's not even looking at me. He's still facing the wall, and I'm saying, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I tried going down to touch him, and my hand went right through him. And I says, okay, now I think I'm in real trouble, and I didn't know what to do. And finally he turned around, and I noticed time was going by, and he realized that I was dead. So he called the regular doctors or the emergency, whatever they do, code blue, and they all came in. And they all were around me, and I was watching what they were doing, and they were making trying to make slices in my throat. So because first they were trying to do that thing down your throat.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
And weren't having any luck there. So they would swap off, and it was eventually it was a female. It was birth. It was a male doctor. Then it was a female doctor. Then she couldn't get anywhere. So now they said, okay, we'll try it this way. And they tried making slices to put a tube in to see if they could get me breathing, because all this time I'm not breathing. And the clock's ticking. And I'm not in my body. I'm out looking, watching this whole scenario take place. Finally, this doctor comes in with his beautiful silver drill, and I watch him drill a hole right through my throat, and everything went black. And next thing I know, I was someplace else. And this place is like, I think it's the dark hole that's out in the sky. You know, it was just totally black, and there was only one light in it. And the one light in it was God. And I immediately floated up to his presence, and you move like lightning, and you it just feels so different, so good. And he was telling me that I wasn't finished, and I had to go back, and I didn't know what he meant. But next thing I know, I was being pulled back into my body, and as I was waking up, my wife was screaming at me, and so weren't the nurses. They were pounding on my chest and trying to get me back, and my wife was screaming, "Don't you die, you SOB. If you do, I'm gonna bring you back no matter what, and then I'm going to kill you." So the nurses were saying, "Yeah, we don't want to do the paperwork. You better come back, yes, or whatever." So I did come back, and it was like 2 weeks of them trying to get me strong enough so that they could take, because at that time, they had to put this pipe in my throat, and it was they put a balloon in and they inflate it so that it can hold everything and keep your neck open.
Oh, yes.
And this was at Mass General Hospital in Boston. And it was like 3 weeks later, they came in and said, okay, we have to get that out of there, and we have to put in a regular trach, or you're not going to be able to eat or talk or whatever. So I said, yeah, right. So they said, it'll be fine. This is a standard kind of procedure. We've done it. And as soon as they said that, my eyes rolled in the back of my head, and I said, yeah, sure. So they said, okay, here we go. So took a deep breath. They pulled the thing out, and then they tried pulled the balloon up, and then they tried putting the other one back in, but my throat had closed again. This time my wife was holding me, and she saw me, she watched my spirit leave my body and actually exit through the ceiling. This time when I went past the ceiling, all the miserable, rotten emotions that you have down here on Earth get taken away. You can't even have memories of them because they're just taken away. And they're replaced by these beautiful, wonderful memories that I can't put it into words. They're just wonderful. And the feelings all around you are just wonderful. And it's like going through a door. It's like you're here 1 minute and then bam, you're there. And you know you're there because you can see around you.
Yes.
So I went and I'm looking and you go up and everybody talks about, do you see the light? I says, yeah, you see a light. The light actually turns into three lights. One light goes off and it's all by itself and it's so beautiful. It's very, very bright. And it has colors all around it. And then there's one light that's almost like a horizon. And it's like a brilliant light with flashes in it going off all the time. And then there's another light, and it almost looks like a whole row of a cloud, but as you get closer, it looks almost like sheep. And as you get closer, you find out it's people. And they're like, you're looking at their, like a negative image of them, and their whole body is encased in this gold ring. And that's what holds the essence in place. And they're all like we are here. You can recognize the people and everything. I didn't see any of my relatives. I didn't see anybody that I could say I know. I didn't see angels, which I thought was very peculiar. And I know that I was up there and I was feeling these feelings, because what you get is, oh, man, I I was a Woodstock child, so when Jimmy Harris said, "Are you experienced?" Yeah, I'm very experienced. This was nothing like it. This blew that away so far, it was ridiculous. It is so wonderful. So anyway, I'm enjoying that, and I'm looking at the people, and they all had their backs towards me, and they're all looking at the wall, which I finally noticed that huge thing that was like gold with lights flashing in it, and they weren't lights, they were different gems, and the wall was semi-transparent, and it was made out of gold, and it was beautiful, and they're all looking at that like they're waiting for something to happen, and they're not turning around looking at me like I'm no big deal, that's nothing, and I'm wondering why, and then all of a sudden I hear a voice, and the voice says, "Mark," says, because the voice knew I was thinking, "Wow, this is heaven, this is beautiful." And the voice said, "You're not in heaven." And I instantly knew it was Jesus. And I turned to look, and he's all by himself. He's like hovering in the midair, and he's surrounded by this gorgeous, gorgeous, multicolored rainbow all around him. And it was so beautiful. And as the colors come off of the rainbow, they hear you like lightning bolts, and they like each one has another wonderful feeling that you've never felt before ever, because they don't exist here. And it's like, oh, so while I'm there experiencing all that, he explained to me that what I was looking at is not heaven, and where I was not heaven, that where I was called paradise. And I understand why it's paradise. I could do a million years there, maybe I can use 100 million, even more. Yes. It was so unbelievable. So anyway, while I'm there and I'm listening to it and I'm feeling it and I'm seeing it and the colors are so brilliant and beautiful, I didn't want to go back. There's no way that I had any intention of going back. I'm here for life. I don't have to go on to heaven. I'm wondering why these people are not staring at me. And he says, "Mark, that is the wall of heaven. And what these people are waiting for is they're waiting for the great banquet that's going to happen. And they're waiting for it to happen. And it'll be soon. And it's the marriage of the bridegroom to his church, the bride. The bridegroom is Jesus. And they're all waiting for it." And I'm sitting there, standing there, and just taking it all in. And just the awe of it was just stupendous. So the next thing Jesus says to me is, "Mark, you're only going to be allowed a glimpse, and then you have to go back because you're not done." And I said,
I don't want to go back. I want to stay here.
There's nothing here that can come even close to comparing to that. And I see he says, no, you can't. You got to go back. You can't argue with God and win. Next thing I know, I can feel myself being pulled back in my body. And it hurts when you go back in your body. And I'm coming back around. But this time, I was in it was the intensive care unit at Mass General.
Yeah.
Because they figured this time, there's no way that he's coming back. Because it took him more than 20 minutes to get me breathing. And after 3, you're a vegetable. And I had so much wrong. I had necromancing fasciitis in all the bones in my body, and it was spreading fast.
What an amazing story. If you're just joining us, Mark Lynch is our guest on the program. His book is Walk With Me, second edition. He talks about what happened in 2 near-death experiences, his visit to paradise in the afterlife, and that's where we are. Boy, the time is going by so quickly. What a remarkable story. And Mark shares all of this very intimately in his book, Walk With Me, second edition. Book available at Amazon, all the usual places. If you go to our website, you'll be able to log on and get information there as well. Why do you think, and I'm going to use the word chosen, why do you think you were chosen for this visit to paradise?
Because I'm a nobody. God doesn't use somebodies. God uses nobodies. No important value whatsoever to anybody except his family. That's it. And that's who God uses. Why? Because he's trying to get a message out.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, why is that? I'm sorry, I cut you off there. Why do you think that is?
Okay, that book called the Bible is real from cover to cover. Every single word, it's real. It's not to be taken for anything other than a must read before you leave this planet. And if you don't want God in your life, well, that's your choice.
Yes.
But you're going to reap what you choose, and you don't know what you're saying. You got to realize there is something out there. I know a lot of people say, "Oh no," when you go, "Poof, it's nothing. There's nothing there." I've been there. I begged when I came back. I begged them to kill me because I wanted to go back there. They wouldn't do it. I had to wait till 8:30. Everybody left my room. And what I did is I had a double pick line going in my right to my heart, and I pulled it out, trying to get there. And not one drop of blood, but I felt every bit of the pain. And I looked up and I said, "Why?" Because I wasn't going anywhere until he says, "It's time." And that's the way it is. He's more involved in everybody's life than they even have a suspicion of. He knows everything you're thinking. He knows what you're going to do. How are you going to screw up before you screw up? He's trying to save you the grief because sin has consequences, either in this life or the next. But it doesn't just end when you end. You can live 150 million years and you still haven't touched how long you're going to be dead for. That's an eternity.
Yes.
So it's a matter of how you get through to these people. I don't know. They all look at, you can say I'm a quack and say it didn't happen, the whole bit. I got medical records to back everything up. I know where I went, and I know I wasn't here.
And everything is so well documented and shared in your book. Justin, in talking to you for these few minutes, you're very graphic in what happened. Mark is just that graphic and even more so in detail in his book, Walk With Me, second edition. And this wasn't like, knowing about your background, you were not a particular, I mean, you were an ordinary guy that made, you mentioned Woodstock, you enjoyed life. So it wasn't like this was a reward for living a very religious life. You're just a guy like the rest of us out there, chosen for this.
You got it. Why me? I say that to him. I lie there and say, "Why me? Why me?" all the time. And you know what I get back? "Why not you? Why not
okay.
you?"
Okay, yeah.
That's how it is. And everybody can say the same thing.
Well, most of us, as we get older and we see people around us that are not here any longer, in the back of our mind is, this journey is going to end. How do you look at this journey going to end? And I know the answer to that. I can see it in the smile in your face. Fine, I'm ready for the next one.
Yeah. And you know what happened? After going through that, I'm not afraid of anything, especially death. There's nothing to fear there. If you're on the right side of Jesus, if you actually learn how to have a personal relationship, and anybody can do it. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be, anybody can do it. All you have to do is realize, okay, he made the rules, and you can't keep the rules. There's no way that you can keep the rules. Nobody was able to keep the rules but Jesus. And you know that, according to him, sin's sin. So if you do this wrong or that wrong, you sin. You're guilty. Then the penalty for guilt, oh, yeah, it's death. What? Eternal death. Not just dying and going. No, eternal death. So you don't want that. You don't want. Remember I told you about the black hole I saw the first time?
Yes.
Okay, imagine being out there in that black hole. You're still you, okay, because I was still me out there without a body. You're still you, but you can't do anything. You can't even talk to people. And you're out there in nowhere because you don't want God. You don't want him in your life. And therefore, he's going to give you what you want. He's going to leave you alone, and you'll be there for an eternity. You don't want that. That's crazy time. That's really crazy time. If I can get that across and people can just get it through their head, that'd be great.
Mark Lynch, our guest on the program. Boy, such a fascinating story, and the time going way too quickly here. I mean, it's amazing. Walk With Me, second edition, the name of the book. Talk about, for a couple minutes, the impact this had on family, friends, acquaintances, as the family would know the story. Your wife was there as you were living and dying and reliving again through these experiences. What impact has it had on family, friends, acquaintances? This has to be life-altering for them when you're sharing this story.
Oh, it changes your whole view and your whole perspective on how you're going to live your life. You know, instead of being a self-centered life, okay, where all I'm interested in is me, okay? Because if you're going to have that kind of selfish attitude and selfish life, that's you don't know what's going to happen, because you're going to reap the rewards for that. Because I did this, I went through an experience, and it started back in 1975 in my backyard, where I met God for the first time because I challenged him. And it's a whole other story, and we probably have to have 20 minutes just to get into it, but I challenged him, and I found out he's real. And then it was a matter of, I was seeking him after that. I tried to research and find anything I can. What did the Mormons say? What did Jehovah say? What did the Christians say? What's the difference between the Greeks and the Roman Catholic? All of them, okay? What did the Jews say? It all boils down to, you have to find Jesus. You're here. You're given the roadmap. It's called the Bible. Okay? Nothing else. All the other stuff is crap. Okay? I've read it all. Jehovah's, whatever they are, Mormons, I read it all. It's all crap. The only thing that's real is that Bible. And it'll tell you from beginning to end. Because now we're in the last chapters. And this is what's going on in our crazy world now. I mean, you see evil rising.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, daily.
Okay. All right. So what do you think? God's on the evil side or God's on the good side? And you know who's going to win.
Yep.
There's no way the evil's going to win. I mean, we have to go through some stuff. If you read the Bible, God's not going to rewrite it. Everybody talks about revelations and what else. Hey, he's not rewriting it. It's going to happen. So evil, he allows. There's a reason he allows. You got to have bad to understand good. It's amazing, but it gets down to real basic stuff.
I got a couple minutes.
How would you know that something is good if you didn't know what something was when it was bad?
Oh, yeah, yes, yes. You need to be able to make that comparison, and that gives you that perspective. Talk about, and I've only had a couple minutes here, but writing the book, why did you feel this was why it was so responsible, necessary for you to write the book?
Okay. To be honest with you, Rick, the reason that I wrote it is I figured that my life is over and I better do something quick, and I don't going to be around here for my grandchildren. And because I'm not going to, I might as well write about my life and what I did and what I didn't, so they can know how crazy their grandfather really was and where they came from and so forth. So I was doing it simply for memoirs for my children. And then it just got into, it was, you know, a book. And then I tried to make copies, and I didn't want to photostat, build a copy a whole bunch. I said, let me see how much I can get it to turn into a book. And it was a whole other story. I couldn't find, I didn't know where to go, whatever. So I prayed about it, because one thing I did learn is how to have a real good relationship with my best friend. And his name is Jesus. And when you do, he does answer prayers, and he does do miracles. He still does, and I'm a living miracle, because
yes.
I'm like a million in one shot. I never should have, never. I had broken my neck in four places. I had necromantic fasciitis through my whole body. I had double pneumonia. Both of my lungs had collapsed. I had a heart attack. I had a stroke. I had, I don't know how many seizures, and I wasn't breathing. So the doctors looked at it and said, well, geez, you know, after a couple of minutes, you know, your brain's going to just turn to mush, and just, you know, all those brain cells going to die. And they all had their whatever. But God does miracles, because they know when it's recorded, hey, man, 20 minutes? You got to be kidding me. And here I am. I did have some damage, and I can feel it, and I carry it around with me every day. But he stands me up. And I live because of him. And he lives in me.
The book
it would be just a couple of years, but It's been a little while.
It has been a while. And the book now touching so many people worldwide, Walk With Me, second edition. I'm going to take another couple minutes here. What reaction did you get from the doctors? I mean, what did Doogie and the others say? You're there, they're there, and they're going around like, this shouldn't be happening here. We should be getting a call in the coroner's office here and recording the time of death. What response did you get from them?
Doogie came to my bed crying. And I said, it's okay, man, it's okay. You know, but I couldn't talk, but I wrote it. And I said, it's okay. And I remember lying there, and I had these three nuns, which I thought was really weird, but I think they were nuns, or I didn't know. Well, they might have just been caseworkers. Were they, like, you know, ones that served the meals or something? But they came in, and one stood on my left, over my left side, the other was on the right, and the other one was at the end of the bed, and they says, can we pray for you? And I says, yeah, I nodded, please. And they did, and I get weird reaction like that. You know?
Yes.
So I don't know how else to deal with it. It's not like I'm not a celebrity. I'm just a schmuck. I keep telling everybody, hey, look, I'm an everyday schmuck, okay? I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. And I use the John. You know, come on. So it's changed everybody's life around me, my wife's life, my children.
Oh, I can imagine, yes.
My wife wanted to have me committed. When I came back and told her about this stuff, oh, man, that was it. She called her priest in. She was an Albanian Orthodox. He called me in and into his office. And he thought, after hearing me and I explained everything, this was actually before the operation. It was when I had gotten my first encounter with God, and I explained what God would tell me in the whole bit. He went out and told my wife, you better listen to him because I don't think he's crazy. So that things changed. Braintree Community Food Pantry. We've distributed, I don't know, tens of thousands of food and every other need that they have, trying to help people. And my wife even worked at Meals on Wheels, and we served in the churches. All my kids are strong believers, my grandchildren are strong believers. And it's a whole different way of living. It's a whole different, it's a healthier way. And your family is a healthy family. If you're really living up, like, you know, and you're not ashamed, you can look God straight in the eye and say, okay, yeah, okay. When I screw up, I screw up. But for the most part, I'm trying to live by your rules. You say this is no good, I'm not going to do it. I know it offends you when I do it. But most people don't want to admit it. All you have to do is admit it, and he will help you to fix you, to make you into a better being more like his son.
I love your passion, your self-awareness, you know, who you are, why you're here, what you went through, and that all comes across so well in the memoir by Mark Lynch, our guest in the program, Walk With Me, second edition. Take a minute or so. Your book at Amazon, I'll give you that here in just a second. I understand you do a monthly newsletter. What's the best way people can follow you?
Yes. If you send me your email address, my email address is Mark Lynch, MarkLynch, and the letters RES at gmail.com. I'll put you on a monthly mailing list. It doesn't cost anything. And all I do is every month I send these out, and I put on podcasts if I have them, or films that I have, and people can learn from them. And, you know, you make this a good decision on what you're going to do with your life, because it ain't just retirement. I mean, I've been retired now. I'm 100% DAV. And the government told me when I was 65 that you gotta stop working, man. I said, okay. So now I got this time, and now I'm trying to promote this book to just get it as far out there as I can. I don't care. I'm not making any money on anything. It's not about the money. People don't get that. Fame, fortune, that it's all vanity. It's all wasting, and you're not going to get anything, no credit from God for that. Fame and fortune is a... it's worthless. Don't even waste your time with it. Learn to live with what he gives you and trust him to give it to you, and he will.
And Mark,
and you'll have a beautiful life.
Mark lays all of that out so well in his book, Walk With Me, Second Edition. That enthusiasm is in the book. He takes you in plain language right through all of the experiences. Walk With Me, Second Edition. Are you working on another book?
No, I'm just going to, what I'm going to do with the next one is, like I've already sent out 6 emails, and I'm going to, when I collect these emails, I'm going to put them in a book, and then I'll publish that. But I don't know how I'm going to do it with and get the, I suppose I can put the letters or whatever to the two YouTube sites and so forth, but there's a lot of information on it, on a small, you know, one page report.
Yes. Well, and there's so much in the book, Walk With Me, Second Edition by Mark Lynch, Amazon, the usual places. We'll have that on our website so you can link on and get all the information there as well. Mark, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. What a remarkable story, life that you've gone through, how you're spending it now in trying to bring this message, this light to other people. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program.
Oh, no, thank you. And I just pray that this helps as many people as it can.
Well, the book is there.
God bless you, Rick. Thank you.
Thank you. The book is there for everybody. You can learn the lessons and what Mark went through. Walk With Me, Second Edition, Mark Lynch. Book at Amazon, the usual places. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.